Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak today. When your word is preached, you speak to us. And we pray that by your Spirit you will go before and prepare our hearts. Help us to be encouraged by your love for us and all that you've done for us through Jesus. Help us to be stirred by your word to live lives that make a difference to people around us, that will echo on for eternity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've got a passage this morning from a very well-known part of the Bible, often called the Great Commission, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And that's how Matthew closes his gospel, with that great commission to his disciples and also to us. And so I wanted to talk to you this morning about the Birdwood Missionary Society, or BMS for short. God places missionaries all over the world. You know, you think of stories of William Carey going to India, Hudson Taylor to China, to, I've forgotten his name, but, to the jungles of Africa. That's the one, Dr. Livingstone, I presume. Some missionaries he calls to share God's word with faraway countries and faraway people. And some missionaries he calls to the people around them, to their own communities, to their friends and their family, their sporting clubs and their schools. When we look at the missionaries that go around the world, when they go to other countries, what do they do? I mean, they do all kinds of jobs. There are pilots. There are doctors. There are teachers and engineers and translators and just about anything you can name. Sometimes, yes, people go over just to preach, but a lot of the time there's a job, there's a role that they do, there's a place in the community that they hold. And within that, they look for opportunities to grow God's church, to spread the good news. And likewise, the missionaries at BMS work in all kinds of jobs. They're farmers, they're secretaries and receptionists, they're teachers, they're electricians or plumbers. They don't have to be people who go off to Bible college. They don't have to be people who have a full-time Christian job to be a missionary. But when a missionary goes over to a country, they know that although they're there with a job to be a pilot or an engineer or a translator or a doctor or a teacher, they know that's not the main reason God has put them where they are, but rather that through that opportunity, through that place in the community, through what they say and through what they do, they can show the love of God in loving people in practical ways, in setting up hospitals and caring for the sick, and dealing with preventable causes of blindness and providing food in crisis and all of these things. They show God's love. And they share his word and tell people about Jesus and what he's done for them. And that's what it is to be a missionary. It's to have a job, to be in a place. But to know that's the number one thing that God has called you to do in that place is to be able to shine a light, to share him with the people around you through what you do and through what you say, and to build the church in every corner of the earth, even Birdwood and Manham and Mount Pleasant and Springton. We can't forget Springton or Gumaraka or Mount Torrens or Lobethal or Paracombe. Williamstown. I think I said Birdwood, didn't I? Oh, Kersbrook. Yeah, I think they really need the gospel over there in Kersbrook. Sorry, that's the rooster in me talking. I just want to encourage you this morning. Being a missionary doesn't necessarily mean leaving your house, years of study, giving up your job or any of these things, but it means having that same heart that we just talked about, that the most important thing we will do with our lives, and not to diminish our jobs, which are important, and we work with integrity because that's the way Jesus has told us to live, but that the greatest thing we will do is the connections we build with the people around us and the way that we can show God to them through that. And I want to encourage you as well that I don't want to make any of this about guilt. God's gospel is not about guilt. You need to do things to make things right. Instead, we have the message to share through our lives, through what we do, that God chose to love us when we were his enemies, when we had turned against him, when we had gone our own way and made ourselves our own gods, our own arbiters of what is right and wrong, and rejected God and his authority over us as our creator. We had a lot of guilt in that sense. We stood guilty before him. But instead of passing sentence on us in our guilt, that you will receive what you deserve, death, because God is the creator of life and we have no claim on life if we reject him. And worse than death, what the Bible calls hell, that it's the eternal death, which is separation, eternal separation from God, our creator. If we reject him, one day we will ultimately get what we've asked for, that God will leave us and it won't be all that people thought it would be. But God chose to love us, to send his son. God so loved the world. I could sing the song we taught all the kids at Super Club about this. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And it wasn't Jesus, being judged in our place by an angry God and he was kind, but that they were both working together. It was their plan together that Jesus would come and give his life in our place, that he would love us when we didn't deserve it, that he would care for us when we didn't deserve it. We're here this morning because we believe in this Jesus. We are saved by grace because God chose to love us. And we receive that through faith when we say, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins and the sins of the world, and that he rose again. I believe that he is the Son of God, and I choose to follow him. That's the heart of the gospel, and that's the heart of mission, to love people regardless of what they might deserve, of what they might have done, and to share that forgiveness, that opportunity for their sins to be forgiven, for them to be restored to relationship with God, to them. To tell them that through Jesus we have a hope and a future. And so as we've read, Jesus tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. And I want to tell you that the English translations we've got of the Bible are really good. But sometimes there's just little nuances that aren't quite there. And in this, it looks like there are two commands. Go and make disciples. The go is a participle. It's not the main verb. Sort of having gone, as you go, wherever you go, the main command, make disciples of all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Make disciples wherever you go. And we see that even in the early church. The 12, they went and they made disciples. Paul went and he made disciples. And you know, others like Priscilla and Aquila went and made disciples. But how were the Ephesian elders faithful to this commission that God had given? They stayed and made disciples and built the church and spread the word. And we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, except that he already has. But they stayed. And the word of their love for God and what they did there and the way that they lived in light of the gospel spread. So make disciples, whether you go or whether it's wherever you go through your daily life. Make disciples. So what does it look like to make disciples? We might often think making a disciple means, you know, taking someone who's not a Christian and making them a Christian. That's discipleship. And that's a huge part of it. And that's a huge part of our calling. But there are all sorts of people out there. You've got your rank unbeliever, somebody who's never heard the gospel or who has but didn't want anything to do with it. And then you've got, coming down a bit, you've got somebody who has got a lot of questions about what the Bible is. They're kind of interested, but they haven't made a decision that they want to follow Jesus. They want to know about this first, and what about here, and what about that? And then further down, we've got someone who's made the plunge, somebody who's decided that they want to become a Christian. And Paul talks about people being like baby Christians, people who are given, you know, milk of the gospel rather than the full meat of God's word, people who have put their trust in Jesus, but they're still, you know, there's lots of trials they're yet to face that will help them to grow in their faith, and they'll need help along the journey. They'll need support. They'll probably find, you know, over and over again that they wrestle with things like trying to earn salvation, forgetting that it's given to us by grace. Or they'll continue to wrestle with the sins that they were stuck in before they were saved, and they'll need extra help and extra support. And then we got a mature believer, somebody who's knows God very closely, who's knows the full counsel of his word and walks in his ways as well as anybody can on this earth while we are still flawed and imperfect and sinful people. And I would encourage you that discipleship is helping people to take any of those steps. To share the gospel with somebody who's never heard it before, even if they don't immediately fall on their knees and pray the prayer. That's part of it. We've baptized people in this church, and we've had the privilege of, you know, of being there. Not that baptism is the point that you become a Christian, but we've had the privilege of being there when they've taken the step from interested to, yes, I want to follow Jesus. But there have been people working faithfully in that person's life to bring them to that point. And that's all part of it. That's discipleship. And discipling, we can disciple Christians and help them to grow in their faith and be encouraged and to help them in their struggles and their doubts and their fears. All of these things are valuable. All of these things are necessary in bringing people to God, and all of them bring glory to God. So we have, this is different parts of being a missionary, of bringing people to Jesus. And some of the, the Bible talks about the difference between word ministries and practical ministries, waiting on tables, as it's sort of put. Those are all important too. Sometimes it's the faithfulness of the community pantry in sharing food with people who are struggling that gets them to that questioning interested. Why do you guys do this? Where is all this coming from? And we have ministries that do all these sorts of things. At Super Club, we have, I think probably the top three of these coming along. We have people who've never heard the gospel before that come to Super Club, and that's brilliant. And we have some with a lot of questions. And that's part of it. And we have some that have made the choice to follow Jesus, but they're still finding out all that that means. And, that's a ministry that we have. And that's hard work sometimes. Kids are almost all out in Sunday school, so I think I'm allowed to say kids can be hard work sometimes. But it's also where discipleship is happening. We have the community pantry, that's somewhere that we can serve. Even, the op shop. It's just selling things. But it's a place that gives a lot to people in need. And it is an outreach in our community. People know the church because of the op shop. And that can be a wonderful thing, an opportunity for the gospel. You can serve as a mentor at the school and start building those relationships with people there. We have Bible study groups, which are about growing to maturity in Christ. Because although I've presented it like, one day you've made it and you're a mature, you've never really fully made it until we see God face to face. There's always more we can know about God and more we can grow to be like him. There's all sorts of ways to be a missionary at BMS. We have places for missionaries in every category. And being a missionary, here or far, is one of the most important things you'll ever be involved with. But it can seem so daunting, can't it? Oops. I wanted this one. There we go. Go and make disciples of all nations. There's a lot of nations out there. That's a big task, isn't it? That's 8 billion people? Approximately, 1 billion consider themselves Christian. That's a big mission field. But I was encouraged by this in a devotion that one of the team members gave this week on our mission in Manham. If there was one Christian in the world and they were to take one person alongside them and invest in that person for a year, and at the end of the year that person became a Christian, then the next year there would be two investing in people, making disciples. And at the end of that year, there would be four. And then there would be eight. And then there would be 16. It sounds really small, doesn't it? After 4 years, we're only at 16. In 25 years, you would pass the population of Australia, 35 million people, or 33 million people. 26 years, if you allow for the projections of what they think that Australia's population will be in 25 years. In around 33 to 34 years, that would be the entire population of the world. We passed that 10 billion mark. Now, obviously you're sitting there and you're thinking, it's not quite that easy, is it? You'll invest sometimes in somebody and then they'll say, no, I don't want to follow Jesus. Or sometimes you might invest in somebody and they become a Christian, but it takes 25 years, not 1 year. And so, look, my point is not that we're going to reach the entire world in 33 years. People will say no. The Bible tells us that. Not everybody will receive what Jesus has done for them. My point is, we read this and we tend as Westerners to read it very individualistically. Go and make disciples of all nations. I have to go out and make disciples of all nations. Now the church is to go and make disciples of all nations. We're all in it together. This is not just a commission for me and for you, but for all of us. And it all starts with you and one person that you might invest in this year. In any of those stages, we can encourage people. You and one other person to invest God's love in this year. Are we prepared to be part of the Birdwood Missionary Society? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the gospel that we have to share. It is good news that you loved us and gave your life as a ransom for ours because of your great love. That although we can't be good enough to make things right and to live with you forever, you have paid the price. You have made us righteous in your eyes through what Jesus has done on the cross. Help us to be encouraged to shine your light. to spread your good news. Whether we're called to go far away or whether we're called to share right here, help us to think prayerfully about who we can come alongside this year and next year. Who we know that doesn't know Jesus that we can encourage and invest in. Who we know that has come to know Jesus but needs some support and some help and some grace. Let us be your hands and your feet and the bringers of your word in what we do and in what we say. In Jesus' name, amen.